singing sounded good sitting up here at the front. I guess we'll give Jack credit for that good leading. A few weeks ago, Felisa and I, we took a trip up to northern Kentucky, and we saw a couple of attractions up there, one being the Ark Encounter, and the other one was the Creation Museum. The Creation Museum is up north Kentucky, up along near the Ohio River, on the Ohio line. And what it is it's a walk-through timeline. It's got animatronics and I guess like wax figures and stuff. Starts with Adam and Eve and the creation, and you just kind of walk through it and you see everything progress, and it's hitting on the Adam and Eve and Adam's sin and how it affected the world and what the world could have been like if sin hadn't come in, and how it changed. And it goes all the way up through Jesus and his birth and death and resurrection. And it's pretty neat. I enjoyed that, and it was educational. And then we went to the Ark Encounter, and what it is, it's a little bit closer than that one was, a little south of there, and it's a life-size replica of Noah's Ark interpreted by man. They used the dimensions that were given in the Bible, and they built a giant ark. And so it was interesting to see how the ideas that were presented, it showed how things could be plausible for Noah to build this ark. And you know, people say he couldn't have done that. How could he get all those animals on, and how could he feed them and water them, and you know, all these type of things. But I guess the company or whoever, this museum and the ark is kind of, we got combo tickets, so I guess it's all run by the same people. But at the ark, what they tried to do, you know, they showed how 8 people could feed, water, and dispose of waste to all the animals. And they kind of started telling that Genesis 7, verse 20 tells us there were 2 of each animal kinds. So they explained that Noah didn't have to have one of every dog breed and horse breed. And, you know, it was just 2 of every kind. And they did a pretty good job of telling you along the way that, you know, take it as you will, this is man's interpretation of what they see. This is how they might have done something. They showed how they might could have built the ark in ways that they could have got light into it, how airflow could have been generated, how the animals could be mass-fed and the stalls cleaned. And that they had a lot of mechanical ideas how this could have happened. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood came, so he had had a lot of experience in life, and I'm sure he could have come up with a lot of things and a lot of craftsmanship. But the ideas it presented was to try to debunk unbelievers' views that say that this couldn't be done. And it was showing reasonable ideas that these things could have been done. But as believers, we need to be careful, and we need to have faith that regardless of whether we can prove whether it was done or not, that we need to have faith that it happened just like the Bible says it did. Now, for me, when I saw the ark, it was big and it was neat, but it wasn't very impressive because it was just like a nice, smooth ship type thing, and just like you would see, I guess, in the pictures and stuff, and some of the. But I would have thought it might have been better to have it kind of rough and the edges jagged, and you know, who knows? It could have been a square box or something. We don't know, you know, exactly what it was. But like I said, they did a good job of repeating that this is just interpretations, and I think we have to be careful when we do look at something like that, that we use our Bible facts and try not to put any more in it than what the Bible tells us to, and our faith goes a long way in that too. Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So that's all we need to know about that, that it happened, that God spoke it into existence. God's creation itself is proof of God's existence, and the Bible calls it foolish not to recognize it. Let's look at Romans 1, starting in verse 18. Romans chapter 1:18-23. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him. As they knew God, they were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into image like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Psalms 53:1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good." Now, I sometimes, before I go on a trip, I'll look at TripAdvisor and I'll look at the reviews and, you know, kind of decide if I want to do that. And I looked at TripAdvisor before we did this too. And there was mostly good reviews, and there was some bad reviews that were legitimate about the prices, the lines, you know, just different things that people had complained about. But it was some that was interesting, and there was one reviewer, and she had put, you know, bad about the creation, or about the art first, and then I clicked on her review, and I noticed that the Creation Museum, she went to it too, and it was also, yeah, it was bad, you know, don't do that, it's no good. Yeah, but then the rest of her reviews on all the secular type stuff was good, so I think she just, I don't know why she went to them, you know, because she just didn't have anything good to say about any of it. And there were some that had concerns about, you know, there was dinosaurs on their ark and things like that. Some people wasn't sure about that and everything. There's things that, you know, are out there that make you think, but I think it's okay for things to make you think too. Like I said, it's just something to put ideas, and you can go further with it in the Bible with what you want to go with it. But one review said this. It said, "Expected so much more. Expected a lot more from here. There wasn't much, and I wasn't impressed. They gave no sources of information." I don't know what that meant, because we saw just all kind of information. "But it was very tailored to believers. Basically, just bashed those who didn't believe in the Bible." Now, at night, we weren't there at night, but it's my understanding that they had some kind of light and they shined a rainbow on the ark at night. And, of course, that represents the flood and the promise and all that. But there was one sarcastic review there, and it said, "Gay Pride," and it gave 5 stars. It said, "Thank you to the Christians, Kentucky and Ark Encounter, for joining and celebrating Gay Pride. It's so modern and progressive of you. It's so full of love. You have truly learned to love your Gay Pride neighbors. I cried tears of joy when I saw your ark lit up with the Gay Pride rainbow. Happy Gay Pride to you, Ark Encounter." So God knows that there will be some scoffers who refuse to believe. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. 2 Peter 3, 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and of the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fall asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that existed then perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the judgment day and the perdition of ungodly men. And then, as we see in the next couple of verses, God is even patient with those that scoff at him like that. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count but slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. So my point in saying this, there are people that will mock us as Christians, and they'll make fun of us, and they'll mock God. But even those people, God is long-suffering and forgiving, and we need to realize that if he's long-suffering to even those who mock him, that he's long-suffering and forgiving and quick to forgive us. So as we sing and we give you the invitation to come forward if you have need tonight, come forward as we sing.